Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the book of Zechariah as we continue in our Through the Bible series, Cover to Cover. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 10.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. And the bow of war will be cut off. And he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth.
About a year after my son was born, I happened upon the sudden desire to start a garden. This was very out of the ordinary for me. I'm someone who opts for fake houseplants because it's too hard to keep real ones alive. But for whatever reason, I got it in me to plant a garden, and I had this vision of vegetables and herbs, of fruit and flowers, of going out to my garden with my son before dinner and picking out what we'd like to eat that night. I was determined to make this happen. Now, at the garden store, they have the option to get plants that have already started growing, and you just transplant them from their containers into your soil. I did get a few of these, but I really wanted to try starting from just the seed. So I dedicated one section of my raised garden bed to carrot seeds. I drew lines with my finger in the soil, sprinkled seeds the size of pencil tips in rows, and then covered them back over with dirt. I watered them consistently and covered them from the cold. As I'm writing this, it's been about 2 weeks since I planted and started caring for these seeds, and I'm honestly starting to doubt the process. All I see is a patch of dirt, and I'm wondering if it makes any difference for me to continue cultivating it. I wonder, is anything going to come out of this? Now, I tell you this very anticlimactic story because I think life oftentimes feels like a bare patch of dirt. We wonder if it really makes a difference if we seek to grow closer to God. Does it really even matter if we obey Him or not? The setting for the book of Zechariah is one in which the Israelites find themselves sinking into this very discouragement after their return from exile. They've suffered through many years of captivity as punishment for their sin, sustained by the hope of getting home and seeing their nation restored. Now, at last, they are back in their land, but things are not as they'd imagined. The prophets of earlier days had foretold that after the exile, God would restore His presence among His people by building a new temple in Jerusalem. God said He would bring a king from Israel who would establish God's kingdom of peace over all the nations. God promised to give His people new hearts that were empowered to be faithful to Him. But in the absence of experiencing any of these realities, the Israelites are losing motivation to live faithfully to God. God sends the prophet Zechariah to impart hope and revitalize the people. Through Zechariah, God reinstitutes His promise about the king to come from Israel. He says this king will come humble and mounted on a donkey. He declares that this king will bring world peace and establish His kingdom over the whole earth. This king will remove the stain of sin and bring God's presence to dwell among His people. But, Zechariah says, before this worldwide reign, the king will be rejected by the very leaders of Israel, and then God's own sword will be unleashed against him. Yet ultimately, through this king, God will rescue His people and bring the long-promised restoration. This promise of the king to come is meant to wake the people up to the reality that God is still at work. It's meant to reignite hope that he will be faithful to his promises. As they find renewal and hopeful expectation, Zechariah encourages his people to continue living faithfully. Are there ways in which you can resonate with the disappointment of the Israelites in this book? Do you feel that same need to be revitalized with hope? Maybe it seems as though the pain and brokenness within and around you will never find healing. Maybe it feels as though the frustrations of life that come with living in a broken world make it futile to keep pressing on. In days thick with discouragement, motivation to pursue and follow God often withers. But in such seasons, there is a hope we can hold on to. God has promised one day to restore his world and his people. And when Christ comes again, there will be no more sin, death, pain, or suffering. God's people will live in this new creation fully and freely in God's presence for eternity. Now, Christians can maintain confidence in this future reality because we have evidence of God's past faithfulness. God's prophesied king in the book of Zechariah did come in the person of Jesus, who entered Jerusalem humble and mounted on a donkey, who fulfilled Zechariah's prophecy when he was rejected by the Jewish religious leaders and then struck by the sword of God's wrath on the cross. And with his resurrection, Jesus ushered in the promised age of God's reign of peace, restoring creation to its rightful king and bringing dead things to life. God's decisive victory has been won, and we are now waiting for this world to experience the full effects of restoration. This is the hope that sustains faithful living. With my patch of dirt, hope is what has motivated me to keep tending it. From reading about gardening and talking to more experienced gardeners, I know that it just takes time. Experience has proven that with the right soil, water, and sunshine, plants will eventually grow. So I can keep tending to my garden in faith. My actions are governed not by my sight, but by a promise. And in the same way, hope sustains Christians to keep living faithfully because we are motivated not by what we see, but by God's promise of future restoration. For example, have you been mistreated? Because you have hope that God will restore the damaged, hurting parts of your life and bring justice to evil, you can be freed to let go and respond with love. Are you suffering with your physical or mental health? Because you have hope in God's future healing, you can reject despair and press on in the battle. Or maybe are you discouraged by the discord and brokenness around you in the world? Because you have hope that God is restoring his people to live in peace and harmony, you can be strengthened to join him in his mission. Now, I'm not implying that hope makes faithfulness easy. Hope may propel our feet to keep shuffling forward, but it may not elevate our hearts to feel good. So don't be discouraged if your relationship with God or your obedience feels hard and unsatisfying right now. Choosing to act on your hope, that itself is so worthy of praise. So take a moment now to go to God with any current discouragements. Ask him to renew your hope in his future restoration, that you might keep moving forward faithfully. As you listen to the worship song, praise God for the hope he has given us. The King is coming.
To encounter you and let go of the things that I thought I knew. than anything.